Okay, never mind. Jace is a planeswalker. He dodged it. I don't know.
Like, everybody else that got infected.
Not everybody.
Who else is a planeswalker that
Kaya's still a planeswalker.
She's a ghost. Doesn't count.
No, she's...
Welcome back, everybody, to the Common Ground Podcast, episode 19, approaching 20. I am your host, Cameron Schindler, joined as always today by Thomas Gunn. What's up, buddy?
Yo, I am freshly eclipsed.
Cool. Was it pretty cool? Retinas are doing good? You didn't stare straight at it?
No. I mean, I did, but with a protective layer of protective glasses.
Did you see the dark side of the moon?
I did.
This is the sun.
It was beautiful.
Wait. Never mind.
Yeah. I saw both. Yeah. Unfortunately, traffic, we didn't get out as early as I had hoped, so traffic getting up was a little annoying to get to totality. So we were just outside totality, but then we got to beat traffic getting back. So now we're here on time. But it was gorgeous. Cool. Little spot by the water. It was so cool.
Q-Q. Sounds cute. Yeah. Hippopotamus, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
That's your full name, James Hippo, over there.
James Hippo.
Did you see the eclipse at all?
I did.
Oh, cool.
Stopped working for about a minute and a half and looked at it for a second, and then I went back to my desk.
Not left my house today.
Reasonable.
Did you know that hippos are herbivores?
It's an herbivore. Eat plants?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Cool. Got it.
Cool. Do they eat, do herbivores eat plants or meat too, or just
That's
plants?
An omnivore.
Yes.
Okay. Well, this hippo is an omnivore.
This hippo is an omnivore.
This is true. I am an omnivore.
So this is episode 19. Today we got outlaw spoilers coming, but first... Episode 20, next week, we're going to do a mailbag episode. So if you have any questions for us, send them to commongroundmtgpod@gmail.com, or you could DM us, any of us on Twitter. All of those things will be in this episode's description below. Send them out, baby. We want some cool questions for next week episode. All that fun stuff. We got a few already, so we appreciate those who already sent them out.
Thank you.
If you want some heard, read out, send them over to us, and that'll be next week for you. But like I said, this week, we're talking about some common spoilers.
Outlaws, the Thunder Junction. It's been fully spoiled for a few days now. It's coming out this coming weekend, just a couple days from when y'all hear this episode. It's a pre-release weekend this weekend.
It'll be on the day after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the day after, if you're playing at a Friday event. It's very exciting.
Start us off the first cycle.
Sure, yeah. So we've all gone through and looked at some cards. We don't think we have quite as many cards to talk about, at least that we think are going to be impactful in comparison to Murders at Karloff Manor. But
or Ixalan.
Or Ixalan, yeah. To be fair.
Ixalan was a banger.
Ixalan was indeed a banger.
I feel like the set overall is really good. Just like the commons seemed a little lackluster.
I think so. I would agree.
Yeah, this is not the strongest set for the common slot.
No.
Which is kind of strange because they talked about like the new play booster environment that we're going to start seeing stronger cards printed at common because there's going to be a lot more rares opened in these play boosters. So
I think that has a lot to do with the limited format in this particular scenario. Like,
true.
I don't think I think the commons are a little more expensive overall, which is probably why we're not going to talk about as many this time.
Maybe by when they said like a little more powerful, maybe just more removal at common. And it's like, we already have such high bars for removal. It's like, it's kind of hard to usurp a Scred, a Lightning Bolt, Galvanic Blast, Cast Down, Journey to Nowhere. It's like kind of hard to cross those boundaries without messing something up in standard or Popper at that point.
The closest thing in Outlaws that could match that is like Skullduggery, which has already been printed and doesn't see play anywhere. Skullduggery is a black mana for an instant. It's until end of turn, one of your things gets +1/+1, and one of their things gets -1/-1.
Cool.
Yeah, just like Fungal Infection.
Yeah. Really good in limited formats when it shows up. But outside of that, it hasn't really broken through into Popper.
Is that the Ixalan one you said?
Yep. Yeah, really good. Okay. Yeah, it was printed first Ixalan.
Anyway, these lands we hinted at, what are these?
Yeah.
No, that's not.
So we have a printed cycle of dual lands. They're not type dual lands. However, they do have the type desert for any cards that care about deserts. They all enter tapped. They tap for one of two colors of mana. This one in particular is Soured Springs. This is the blue-black one. And it says, when Soured Springs enters the battlefield, it deals one damage to target opponent. So we basically have the opposite of the tapped duels that were originally printed in Khans of Tarkir, which enter tapped and gain a life, but now we have a pinging lands.
Mm-hmm. So the first deck I thought about this was, I'll say, original Boros Synthesizer before it became the Glitters version. It played the gain life lands, and I think that deck is aggressively slanted enough to want the extra damage rather than the life. Other than that, what other decks played these? I know, like, Orzhov Ephemerate used to play a gain lifeland, but I think that deck would want to keep the gain lifeland if it has that slot open. Were there any other ones that popped off in y'all's heads?
I think there is a world where you go down and split 1-1 apiece on the Tron land, or in the Tron deck. Usually, I think it plays, like, two gain lifelands. You can split it, split the difference, and then you can actually start looping Ghostly Flickers and Archaeomancer.
Ooh,
and, or sorry, sorry, not okay, Mnemonic Wall, and then you can actually start pinging your opponent.
That's pretty cool.
That is really
that's
cool.
That's kind of cool.
Like, if you make enough mana,
yeah, then well, you just start flickering it enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sweet.
So if you're like, all right, I already like, I have like 11 mana or whatever, dump into this, take 11.
Yeah, exactly.
It's subconsciously 11 is my go-to number now. Great.
Just means you're initiated.
It's just hard to say whether or not these are going to slot in just everywhere, like even decks like Dimir Fairies, for example. Like, their dual lands are pretty much exclusively the typed duels because
they can fetch them.
Yeah, they can fetch them with Lorien Revealed or Troll if they're playing Troll. And so those are much more attractive for decks like that. I don't know if we've had anything. I didn't see really anything in the set, in this set, that really, I think, has a place in the current meta that cares about deserts.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't really think of anything from Hour of Devastation that could have cared about deserts in particular at the pauper level. At least that I think would break through. Couldn't really think of anything. But it is cool to have another cycle of duels that has a little bit like a different angle of upside that we haven't had before. And just so you have some more options.
And I don't think they'll see play in the blue-black decks, just because those decks often play, like, Lorien and Troll. Those are, like,
right,
the two best
in
the cycle. Yeah. No, I was emphasizing that point.
Cool.
You're welcome. It's emphasize. I'm here for you. To repeat what you say.
How about you synthesize?
Yeah. Ooh.
That's not in the set.
No.
No, it's not.
I'll take the next one if that's cool.
Hell yeah, go for it.
Holy cow.
Holy cow.
Keep it at PG. I wish it was just...
That would be a very different card. That would be like an artifact.
It'd probably be a green card because it's natural. Like nature.
A green artifact. Oh, God, what does it do?
Equipped a creature gets...
It's equipped? No! Yeah. Who would pick that up?
Equipped creature gets DQ'd from a Magic tournament for not wearing deodorant.
Okay, maybe we'll... All right. Send in your custom designs for Holy Expletive.
Yeah.
What does Holy Cow do, though, Cameron?
But Holy Cow
Before
is...
Before we get too sidetracked.
Holy Cow is 2 and a white. It's a creature ox angel. Very cute. It has Flash Flying, so that's cool. It's a 2-2, and when Holy Cow enters the battlefield, you gain 2 life and scry 1. So first thing I think of when I see this is Inspiring Overseer.
I had the same thought.
Yeah, because it's a 3-mana, 2-1 flyer, but that card gains a life and draws a card.
It gains 1 life, draws a card. This one gains 2.
So this is more of just like...
It's also Flash.
So is the Flash and the extra life and the extra toughness, is that better than Sorcery Speed in a card?
Actually, I think this is a card that Mono White might want, because Mono White already plays Inspiring Overseer. So I think this actually might be a little bit better for that deck. Having the selection of the card is probably better than just the raw card in Mono White. You're looking to bend land or like get rid of lands off the top of your library and things like that.
That deck doesn't really need a fourth land that bad.
No, not terrible. Well, I mean, for Battle Screech
yes,
is the only one. But yeah, I think that's a card that deck is a nice home for that card, I think.
Cool. Cool art. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful art.
Oh, and to answer your lovely question about deserts and desert payoffs,
mm-hmm.
I have two.
Oh, okay.
They're not necessarily the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Sure.
But we have, from Hour of Devastation specifically, it's Unquenchable Thirst.
Ooh.
One in a blue for an aura. Whenever it enters the battlefield, if you control a desert or there's a desert in your graveyard, tap enchanted creature, and it doesn't untap during its controller's untap step. So a nice little blue removal spell. It's kind of nice. And then we have a Wretched Camel, which is one in a black for a 2/1. Whenever it dies, if you control a desert or there's a desert put in your graveyard, target player discards a card. Hmm. So it is negative for them to kill it. To not kill the camel.
It's like the rat effects with extra step.
Yeah, that's really your only two actual desert payoffs at common. Gotcha.
But back to Holy Cow. I was having this thought exactly as we were driving home from the eclipse today, of just like where do you want the extra point of toughness and flash and the extra life versus just drawing the card?
Against
mono red for sure. Mm-hmm. I think my inclination is that the raw card draw could potentially be better in something like Ephemerate decks if they want to play anything like Overseer, but I don't know if we've been seeing them playing that at all anyway. But I think Flash is a huge upgrade on this type of card for sure.
It's cool because you can get the surprise block and gain the life, so mm-hmm. it's just like it can be a big life swing or a board swing.
It's good if there's a ton of 1/2s kicking around, if people are playing a ton of Inspectors, you know.
Say, what 1/2s are popular?
Yeah.
Oh, did we talk about that?
Uh-uh.
No,
I don't think that's next episode.
Cameron erased it.
I think we neglected to mention it.
I remember talking about Glenhawks and Core Skyfishers. I don't know about the other cards.
That's fair.
Do you want to take the next one, Mr. Hippo?
So next, I'm going to go move over to the blue section. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move over to Razzle and Dazzler.
Razzle Dazzle.
So for one in a blue, for a human wizard, that's important. Those are two good creature types. Mm-hmm. It is a 1/2, and it says, whenever you cast your second spell each turn, put a +1/+1 counter on it, and it can't be blocked this turn. So that's something cool. Like this kind of exists already. We have the elusive spell fist, kind of the same thing, but this permanently keeps those additions.
This is basically Ledger Shredder.
Without the loot, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it only counts you. It doesn't count your opponent also.
Like you
but
said.
But this is sick. Like,
yeah, it's a cool card.
You just cantrip a bunch in a deck that already cares about like prowess triggers or something. You could...
Or Terrors drawing two cards a turn.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, just have this be your like secondary threat in a deck like that.
Mm-hmm. Like turn 3, hit him for 2. Turn 4, you hit him for 3. Turn 4, you hit him for 4. I messed
starts
that up.
It starts to scale up a little
yeah,
bit.
So it's cute. I don't know if it's good enough to
it's
make
also
the
each
cut
turn. There. So if you get to a point where you're casting 2 spells on your turn, 2 spells on their turn, like counter draw, mm-hmm. like this thing could get big quick in the right kind of deck.
Yeah. It's kind of a sweet little card.
I guess like the first shell I think of, or first shell I think of is like the Terror, or it's like, do we don't really have... Oh, we had like the Kiln Fiend decks that used to be pretty popular.
Oh, sure,
so, like,
sure.
You could do something with like, is it
like
hot
yeah,
dogs?
Manamorphos again. And stuff like that. Yeah, there hasn't really been a Manamorphos deck like popping off in a while.
I think the closest Manamorphos deck we have is like the Initiative deck, right? Yeah, I think that's in that deck, correct?
I don't think they run Manamorphos.
No, they did.
They just run like Rite of Flame and
I think they ran
the Initiative
it.
Creatures and
yeah. I think it's just a free card.
Fixes your mana because your mana is poo poo and you just
in the mono red Initiative mm-hmm. deck.
No, we're talking about that Nioh one.
No, I'm talking about the mono red one. I'm talking about the good one.
I was like, whoa. This one just top 8ed more recently. We just talked about it 2 weeks ago.
Actually, we just talked about it before Thomas got here.
A few minutes later.
Welcome back, everybody, from the cut of Thomas trying to settle a petty argument with Hippo. And I said, this, I'm going to go get a seltzer.
Yeah, James won the argument, but it's a list I had never seen before. So, moving on.
I don't even remember what we're talking about. We're talking about Razzle Dazzler.
We were talking about Manamorphos.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Self-explanatory. Razzle Dazzler. Hot dogs. Terror. Any other applications? Or is that all of the dazzling we're razzling?
That's all the razzle and dazzle I got. All
right. We should our way to the next one.
Okay. Next one that I want to talk about is Highway Robbery. This is 1 and a red, 2 mana for a sorcery. You may discard a card or sacrifice a land. If you do, draw 2 cards. And plot for 1 and a red. Now, what plot is, for those who are not familiar, is anytime you could cast a sorcery, you may... So you can only plot as a sorcery. You pay the plot cost. It gets exiled. And then on a later turn, you can cast as a sorcery without paying its mana cost.
Can only plot from your hand as well.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So this is, you know, this is just another variant on, like, Tormenting Voice that we've seen over and over again. However, this one, it has two things going for it that I really like. It has plot, first of all. So if you want to just put it on layaway for two mana and then later have it count maybe as a zero mana way to trigger two spells for your Razzle Dazzler or, you know, getting prowess triggers on creatures or...
You didn't read the card, did either.
What card?
The card, your Highway Robbery.
Yeah, I already read it.
You did?
Yeah. I read it first and then I explained plot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was, okay?
I don't know where you were either.
I also do not know where you were, Cameron.
Not my bad, I'm sorry.
You're okay. You're okay. We're firing fast and loose today.
Highway robbery loose.
Sure.
I didn't know highway robberies were loose.
Yeah.
This one certainly looks like it.
It's true.
But yeah, so it has plot, so you kind of get it off, you know, put it on layaway, get it off for free on a turn where you want to cast a bunch of spells. The other application that I really like is that this, not only similar to Demand Answers from the last set, where you can either discard a card or sacrifice an artifact, this gives you the buyout of either discarding a card or sacrificing a land, which I don't think we've seen in Pauper for this print, this like style of card yet. And so I think that's really cool. There are decks that like kind of care about, you know, maybe you can get lands back out of the graveyard, et cetera, et cetera. But this is just a way to just hold on to the resources in your hand and get rid of extra lands. Like red decks consistently are like, no, we're good with like three or four lands. We can just keep on chucking. If you happen to have anything that cares about Delirium, which is very few and far between, but you know, there's a little edge case there. I just think it's really sick. I think it also potentially has applications in other formats too. I'm excited about this card. It's cool. It's a cool card. Just another variant. It is a sorcery, which has a little bit going against it, but you could cast it for free sometimes.
And we don't know how plot is going to work out too. Like, we haven't seen it play out in paper. It's like a really interesting mechanic. Like, there's always like, man, it's not great right here. I have nothing else going on. Let's pay to and plot it, you know? So like, we don't know how well that mechanic's going to play out. So it's just like, for now, it's just a little extra butter on top.
Yeah. A little extra bonus text. Like, I like the idea of, I mean, it's, this card in particular is in an awkward spot where it's kind of a spell where you would kind of be okay playing it into counterspell mana, but it also is good that it has plot, so you can just lay it away and just get around the counterspell that turn regardless.
I also like that it is not as an additional cost on this one.
Ooh, it's just an if you do.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
You can also just cast this for for nothing and just get like a prowess trigger or something, like, assuming that was the case, off of it. You don't actually have
to trigger your Razzle Dazzler.
You could just trigger your Razzle Dazzler.
There you go. Hit us with our next one, Cameron.
Alrighty, I'll stay in the red section just for you. Reckless Lackey. We got a red first strike haste, 1/2, and you can pay 2 in a red, sacrifice Reckless Lackey, draw a card, and create a treasure token. And it's a goblin pirate. That's notable text. It dodges Fiery Cannonade, and it can be sacrificed to
grenades. That's true. I did not think about Fiery Cannonade.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a 1-mana, 1/2 first strike ace, for the most part. And if the board gets clogged up with too many 1/2s, you can sacrifice it and draw a card and make a treasure. I don't think this sits in Kadoltha, because Kadoltha's creature suite is pretty hot and tight already.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of 2/2s with menace, some with haste as well. And I feel like that's hard to break in there, but I don't know if there's like a mono red pingers version this can fit in. Do you like this better than Epicure?
Epicure makes the artifact token right away.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough.
And pings them right away. It doesn't even have to attack.
Mm-hmm. You could say this pings them right away because it's like the Epicure.
Right, but it's not creating, it's not making any, it's not giving us not any other value.
Not cardboard theory.
Yeah, no rectangles.
No rectangles, it's always one rectangle.
Well, it's two rectangles for four mana.
Card. Yeah.
Kind of for three, because you get the mana back, but.
So this card's think twice. Is that what you're saying?
Sounds like that's what you're saying.
But you just said it's two cards for four mana.
It's two rectangles.
Yeah, so it's think twice. Cards.
Rectangles are not cards, my friend.
Okay, or what's the new thing twice?
What do you
deduce?
Mean?
Deduce.
Deduce?
This card's deduce.
Deduce is two cards because the clue actually turns into a card. A treasure token is not a card.
Okay. debatable. Anyway, you heard it here. Thomas Gunn thinks this is Reckless Lackey.
Thomas Gunn thinks Lotus Petal is not a card.
Yeah. No, because itself is a card, and then you sack it, and you make a treasure and a card. But anyway, no, I agree. I don't know where this belongs.
It's just kind of awkward. It's just awkward. Like, the stats on it are kind of cool. Like, the first strike parts were, like, kind of legit, yeah. Except into the world of 1/2s. But, like, it's still, like, a first strike haster for the one that's pretty good.
It's, like, awkward in me in middle school.
I understand the struggle.
Yeah, I think everybody does. But like I said, I don't see it going in Kadulpa.
No.
Or in Thomas Gunn's pingers, because he...
No.
No. Maybe it'll find a home. Who knows? Somebody out there can brew up.
It's got some potential.
Yeah, it's got something going for it.
Hit us, baby, one more time.
All right. I'm going to move over to the black cards now. I'm going to move over to Raven of Fell Omens. So for one and a black, for a 1/2 flyer, it says whenever you commit a crime. What to commit a crime means is targeting an opponent or anything they control and or cards in their graveyard is a crime. Each opponent loses one life and you gain one life, but that ability only triggers once each turn.
Solid.
I think it's a totally fine card.
Yeah.
I get to kill a thing of theirs and drain them. That's pretty good.
Duress you, trigger.
Drain you. It's kind of cool. Sweet little card. It flies. It's got evasion.
It's like nice. Stormcrow with extra text.
Ooh, Stormcrow with upside.
This is literally Storm. Yeah. This is the best. So this is the best card ever printed.
Yeah.
What you're telling me.
Gosh.
It can pitch to grief. So yeah.
It does pitch to grief.
I don't see a home that fits like slots in right away where I'm like, man, this deck would love this. It's just like you said, it's just a cute card to have.
Yeah, it's just a neat little friend.
I don't think it's breaking new ground or anything.
Yeah.
Like we said, I don't think there's a ton of cards that are breaking new ground in this set.
We just need an aviary for it to fit into.
What's an aviary?
It's a place where birds...
An aviary?
Yeah, aviary. That's the word I'm looking for. Aviary.
We'll go with that's why I didn't know what it was. Okay.
Yeah, but, aviary. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't got any other thoughts on that one. I don't think there's a ton.
It's just a neat little card.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's just cute. Like, what's that meme?
He's just a little guy.
Nope, that's not what I was going with.
That's both what we thought of.
It's cute. I just like it. It's neat. Oh, Marge Simpson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's neat. I like it. That's my Marge Simpson.
I just think it's neat.
There we go. That I sounded just like her there, too. Thomas, hit us next.
Don't go into voice acting.
No, okay, thanks. I won't.
Wow, so supportive.
I'll cancel my employment next week for voice acting.
It's okay, we love your regular voice.
Oh, gosh, thank you.
Next one on my list, I think I have a few more on my list than our other two co-hosts do.
Yeah, I got two left. Cool. And we're kind of jumping all over the place, too, color pie-wise.
No, it's all good. I have Free Strider Commando.
Ooh.
This is 2 and a green. For a Centaur Mercenary, it's a 3/3. When Free Strider Commando enters the battlefield with 2+1/+1 counters on it, if it wasn't cast or no mana was spent to cast it, and it has plot for 3 and a green. So if you cast it off of plot, or if you put it into play somehow without casting it, it's a 5/5. The thing that I thought of with this is something like Unearth or Recommission, where you can just get this back into play. If you recommission this, it's a 6/6, because Recommission also puts a +1/+1 counter on it.
That's cute.
I don't know if that's like
no other good enough to... Though, right?
No other keywords. Okay. So it's just a body. So I don't know if this slots in... I don't think it slots into an existing strategy. Is kind of thinking of Unearth, really, like the black-green world that we live in Pauper is pretty dominated by gardens.
Green is pretty lackluster.
Yeah, green is a little lackluster, but it could be something here. I like that it's a powerful beater. If you are able to do this, you know, like pitch it into the graveyard with, like, I don't know, like a... Does Winding Way puts the other cards in the graveyard, right?
Correct.
So you can, like, Winding Way for some lands, get this in the grave, or...
Faithless Looting.
Faithless Looting or Grisly Salvage or anything like that. And get this in the graveyard, unearth it, recommission it, something like that. It's kind of cool.
It's a nice little beater.
Yeah. Like I said, certainly not the most powerful thing to be doing in the format, but it's cool. Whenever cards have like text like this, like if it wasn't cast and like you get a bonus, then like just start to try and put the pieces together of like, are there existing ways to take advantage of this?
No, I liked where you were going with the, because you read it out loud, and I'm thinking, I'm like, I remember reading the card, I'm like, I didn't think it was that good. And then you said, like, oh, unearth or reconnaissance or recommission.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that's really cool. I didn't see that synergy right away. That's cute. It's just like, I don't think big beaters are where it's at in Pauper right now, sadly.
Right.
You know, like, it's really cool synergy, though. I like that. That's a good catch.
You do recommission it, it blocks a terror pretty good.
Yeah, that's true. You know what blocks it really good? 1/2
Yeah. 1/2 Block it forever.
Yeah, no, not
stick
forever.
A Rancor on it.
Yeah.
And now we're now like an 8/6 trample.
What deck are
now
we playing?
Now we're brewing.
Now we're brewing, baby.
It dies. Rancor goes back to your hand. Recommission it again. Ooh, all right.
Keep attacking.
Let's go.
All righty.
What's your next one?
I'm moving it to blue to you. Seize the Secrets. This is probably on all of our list.
It's not on mine.
Really?
Really.
Huh. So it's 2 and a blue for a sorcery. Draw 2 cards. Wait, that's just divination. But wait, there's more. The spell costs 1 less to cast if you've committed a crime this turn.
Ooh.
So for 2 mana, it could be draw 2 cards. Like if you push, we don't have push in this format. If you lightning bolt something, and is it terror? So if you have 3 mana, you untap on turn 3, lightning bolt something, then you can draw 2 cards. I like it.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, I don't.
You can if you play Mono Blue Terror, you can Thought Scour your opponent, and then draw 2 cards. So you draw 3 cards for 3 mana, and you build your opponent for 2.
That's 3 for 3 is really good. There's no other cards that do that.
No, it's pretty good on rate. Three mana for 3 cards, pretty good.
Thomas, I'm looking at your face. You look unimpressed. Why aren't you impressed? I think this is the most playable card we've read so far. Besides the lands.
I'm not a buyer on this. It's 2 cards for 2 mana.
That's insane.
In the brainstorm format?
Good point. Looks at Thoughtcast.
I'm so sorry. Brainstorm draws 1 card.
A brainstorm draws 3 cards and then puts 2 whatever you don't need back on top of your library or whatever you need to touch.
So I'm sorry. Hold on. So you have to have other effects that go along with the brainstorm to make it good, right?
Okay, this just is like the Thoughtcast format. This is the Of One Mind format. Synthesizer format.
And Synthesizer needs other cards to cast.
This is the Reckless Impulse. Reckless Impulse is 2 mana. But
Synthesizer is 1 card for 1 card until you play another card.
Synthesizer is 2 cards.
Unless you play another card.
That's 4 mana.
Right.
For 2 cards?
That's horrendous. Yeah. That's the worst thing to do with Synthesizer.
I don't know. I think that's good. I do that all the time.
Makes
a 2/2 that can get through all their pro red creatures. Anyway, no, I was really high on this card when I thought it was 1 less to cast for each crime you've committed. When I was like, oh, you can commit 2 crimes and have it be 1 mana draw 2. Then I was in, but then I read it again, and it only reduces it once. So I am less in. What are more of your applications? What's more what you were thinking about it?
Put me on the spot here.
Yeah.
Lightning bolt, man. What more do you want from me?
I gave you that good one of Thought Scour.
You gave me that good one of
Thought
Scour. I said Fatal Push at first, but that's not legal.
No, it's not.
You can counter something on your turn. It has to be on your turn, though. Countering's committing a crime. Yep. Duressing's committing a crime. You could duress somebody.
Fun fact, a lot of Magic podcasts don't think Blue can commit crimes.
No, Blue commits a lot of crimes.
Blue commits a lot of crimes.
Snap, Vapor Snag.
Yeah, Counterspell.
Yeah,
they didn't think Counterspell was a crime.
Look at that.
Anyway.
Whatchamacallit commits crimes all the time. Familiars. I don't think this would be ever played in Familiars, but still.
No.
They're just, you can draw away cards at better
rate. That's also the part of, like, it's interesting. It's, if you commit a crime, it's 2 mana draw 2 cards, which is sick. But we have a bunch of 1 mana draw 2 cards already, like, in the best deck in the format. And so, like.
But not other decks have access to that as well. Like, Blue Black Fairies doesn't have access to 2 mana draw 2. Is it Terror doesn't have access to 2 mana draw 2? Jeskai Femurate doesn't have 2 mana draw 2.
Sure, but they do have 1 mana draw 3. Put 2 back.
Yes, so that's more synergizes my point. With other cards. Is what I'm saying.
Well, this also has to synergize with other
cards.
Is it
Terror? Number one. Almost said it doesn't play Brainstorm. Like, yes, it does play Brainstorm.
Every Terror deck plays a Brainstorm.
Yeah, basically, this is you essentially you have to commit. I mean, you have to commit the crime. You have to commit a spell or an ability into this first.
But you're already doing that.
But what if you aren't?
Then don't play it.
Okay.
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 But if you're already committing crimes, like a... I don't have an analogy. If you're already committing crimes, just play this card.
Okay. If your deck like already inherently commits a lot of crimes.
I don't think this is the best thing since sliced bread or anything.
No, I think this set is not necessarily full of bangers, and I think this is a fine card.
It is a fine card.
Do you know before sliced bread, if you wanted a sandwich, you had to have two whole loaves of bread.
Do you know bread cutting knives exist?
Do you know knives exist? They've existed for thousands of years, actually.
Hippopotamus, you got a card? You have any final thoughts on this card, or you just want to go to the next one?
I think the card's fine. It is a shot to be a card, but I don't think it's like...
Agreed.
I didn't mean to be so adversarial.
Yeah. Remember what a famous tweeter said. When you're evaluating new cards, it's easy to think about how bad they are, but try to think about the upsides and what situations they could be good in.
Okay.
All right, moving on. I have a red card. I'm going to choose Explosive Derailment.
That's what this podcast is.
This has become an Explosive Derailment, I agree. But it's very aptly timed for an aptly named card.
I was looking at
this card. This card is cool. I like modal cards. This is definitely a nice modal card. Yes, this is an expensive abrade, basically. But having the option of kicking it for both or actually upgrading a damage on it, which can be important. Kills like...
Can you read the card?
Yes. So for single red, it has Spree, which means you can pay the extra cost to choose more modes on the card. It's an instant. And for +2/+2 colorless mana, you can deal 4 damage to target creature, and then you can also pay 2 to destroy target artifact.
So at baseline, it's 1 red instant. So for 1 red, it doesn't do anything. To cast it, you have to pay a Spree cost.
You have to pay 3 initially to get
so
any
this,
value.
This card costs 3 mana baseline, yes. And it could cost 5 more. So for 3, you could destroy a target artifact, or for 3, you could deal 4 damage to a target creature.
Yeah.
Or for, what is that, 5?
5, do both.
Entwine?
Yeah, 5 is entwine. It does both. Yes, I agree. So my first thought is like, yes, just upgrades on the 1 damage from a braid. Obviously, this is less mana efficient than a braid, but you are hitting bigger things. The first card that popped into my head was Avenging Hunter.
Sure.
Hits an Avenging Hunter nicely. Yes, we already have things like Mind Collapse and all that good jazz. But it's a modal card. I like modal cards. Having flexibility is a good thing to have.
I just don't think this card is better than a braid.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. But
and a braid doesn't see a ton of play in this format.
No, not a ton.
Can do both for 5 mana, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is cool. Like the ceiling is a lot higher, but I think the floor is lower.
Higher, albeit more expensive.
Yes, I would agree.
Alrighty. Thomas, you got another one?
I have a couple.
Alright, I think I'm out.
You're out?
No, I got one more.
You got one more? Alright, cool. Then I'll do one of mine. I also have a Spree card on my list.
Ooh.
This is, if I can... Oh, it's on the previous page. Excuse me. Alright, this is Phantom Interference.
Was that a blue card?
This is a blue card, alright. It is another Spree spell. So it's a blue mana at its base. For +3 mana, create a 2/2 white spirit creature token with flying. And or +1 mana, counter target spell unless its controller pays 2. So your basically your 3 modes are 2 mana. It's either quench, so like blue 1, counter target spell unless its controller pays 2. Or it's 4 mana, flash in a 2/2 flying token. Or for 5 total mana, quench something and make a 2/2 flyer. Again, not super like on rate with where things are at in Pauper, but I like the option to put a body in play at instant speed.
I do too.
That's also cool. Has a buyout of being a counter, like a
soft
weaker
permission.
Like a soft permission, weaker mana leak earlier in the game if you need it to be. Or both if you manage to, if they're trying to just like play a big haymaker, like an Avenging Hunter on turn like 5, 6, like on like turn maybe early, maybe like 4, 5, or 6. And you can just like pop this, get a creature in. So then like if they try to do it again, you have a flyer to like take the initiative back. Again, I don't think this is very interesting in terms of power level, but it, you know, it has some applications.
Flexibility.
Yeah, I expect this to be a pretty decent player in the limited format, for sure.
Oh, yeah. The flyer is very below rate. 4 mana for a 2-2 flyer isn't great, but 2 mana for one less mana leak, it's all right. It's not the best, but I thought of familiars when I saw this card, because that familiars could easily play this. Like, if it's 5 mana, familiars could be play this for like 3 mana, counter something, and make a 2-2.
Question.
Answer.
How does the familiars interact with multiple spree costs?
I think it still reduces it.
It only reduces it by one, or does it reduce both of them?
It reduces the total cost.
The total cost.
Yeah.
Okay. So it will only reduce by 1 mana if you choose both modes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. That makes sense, I guess.
That would be crazy.
If it just reduced on both halves, it'd be
insane. Game breaks.
That would be cool. Then we'd be like, let's talk about all these spree cards.
But that deck starts making it already plays all these wonky soft permission spells already, like a one-up suite of them, and it starts getting closer to on rate in that deck, especially like if 1 mana to counter something unless it pays 2, and then you could see a world where it's like 3 or 4 mana to make the 2-2 and counter something unless they pay 2. So I thought that was a cute spot I could see the scene play in.
Sure. We got one more piece.
One more piece?
I got time for one more piece.
I've got one more blue card.
All right, cool. Cameron, you got one more or you're out?
I got one more. This is my last. It's one more blue card. I'm going to steal from Hippo. No, I'm kidding.
That would be tragic.
It is a land. It's Conduit Plyons. Land. Desert.
Pylons?
What did I say?
Conduit.
You said Plyons.
Conduit Plyons.
You're good.
Land desert, when it enters the battlefield, surveil one.
Ooh.
Adds a wingding, a colorless, and you can pay one, tap it, add one color of any mana, so that filter stuff, Tron.
Yeah, so I did get asked this question when this was kind of not officially spoiled, but it was sent to me as I did play the Tron deck recently by a friend of ours, and I was asked about how I felt over this over the one that like scries when it enters the battlefield. I think the way that Tron plays out its games, I would rather see a card, potentially see a card later in the game instead of just completely removing it from having, you know, from being able to see it at all.
Cause you can teachings it.
Cause I can teachings for it later. The only thing about that is that there are some cards in the Tron deck that do have like flashback speaking.
But you could also get a teachings.
You could get teachings value. That's kind of the one upside, I think. But I think
you play Pulse of Maraska too, right?
You do play Pulse of Maraska. So it's a creature.
That's...
Yeah, again, there's some applications where this does work. I'm going to use the Wafo Tapa comparison here, where he, in his modern blue-white deck, he was trying to choose a cantrip of choice, and he chose Opt over Consider, because he would like to see cards later in the game that he didn't necessarily want to see right then and there. He just wanted to give himself the option later to see these cards. Because they may not be, it could be like a 5 mana card you don't want like right then and there, but you want it later. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the deal here. I would like to see the card later instead of binning it completely and I don't get to see it again.
And Tron shuffles its deck enough where that's relevant.
It does shuffle.
I would say in some decks that's very unrelevant because you just don't shuffle in some popper decks, but this deck you actually do shuffle.
Yeah. So I think that's the one way I would, that's how I would view that. It's really honestly your preference, but that's my personal opinion.
That makes sense.
The last card I have is a single blue for a 1/1 flyer. It's called Harrier Strix.
I love this little guy.
It was a 1/1 flyer. Whenever it enters the battlefield, tap target permanent. Yes, I said tap target permanent. It does not care what the permanent is. Not a non-land permanent. It's just permanent. You can tap somebody's land. That's really relevant. It forces through blocker or forces through attackers. If your opponent's like the board's gummed up or whatever, you could tap down a land where you need to cast resolve a spell, and you can tap down like an island or something, and then you could like move to your main like next main phase and you get to cast a spell because they don't have the mana available for it now. And then it also has an activated ability of 2 and a blue, draw a card, then discard a card.
Love it.
What's that? I think the card's cool.
Just a bird.
Oh, okay.
Just bird.
Can you imagine that thing in Flash?
That card would be insane.
That'd be way too good. I wish that thing had
Flash. I would love that card to have Flash. I would absolutely tap down so many lands and upkeeps that you have no idea. That would just be Rashad.
Oh my gosh.
We should be Rashad. Also flicker it.
Oh my. Actually, we're talking about a fictional card right now. But
no, actually, you could flicker this. This is actually a legitimate card you could flicker.
It's a legitimate card you could pick up with a ninja, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought of, like, remember, like, the mono blue tempo decks of old, not the terror decks now, but, like, the mono blue fairies deck.
Yep.
It played the 1-mana 1/2 flash, give something -2/-0.
Fairy Duelist.
Yeah, so different, but same vibe a little bit. You're kind of getting a little tricky. Is Merfolk Trickster a common?
No, Merfolk Trickster's not a common. Okay. It's an uncommon.
So, okay. I like what you said. You can, like, they're holding up counter magic. You can kind of ruin their plan there or something. So that's
because they're, like, kind of forced to, like, look at this awkward 1/1 that's, like, going to start, you know, having card selection later. It's kind of a sweet card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the activated ability is the secretly the best card, part of the card. It's just being able that's not like a tap ability. That's just 2 and a blue, draw, discard. You just, like, get into late stage of the game and just start dumping mana into this thing and just start looting.
Yeah, that's
really,
a good point.
Really good on a 1-drop.
Yeah.
I do quite like this one. So I think that about wraps it up for our OTJ.
Whoa. Oh, no,
I have one more. Hold on.
You're skipping out.
I have one more.
The Thomas.
I technically have three more, but I'll just mention one of them.
You can read them off if you like.
All right, I'll read them off real quick. All right. I have Quick Draw. I just like this card. I think this card is cool and kind of funny. It's a red mana for an instant. Target creature you control gets +1/+1 and gains first strike until end of turn. Creatures target opponent controls lose first strike and double strike until end of turn. So if you're going up any against first strikers, you win, they lose. Quick Draw. Haha. I just thought it was funny. It's cool. It's an interesting card. I don't think we've seen anything, at least at the common level, where creatures lose first strike and double strike like that. Can't think of too many applications, but an interesting card to keep on your radar. And it does commit a crime because it targets your opponent.
Ooh.
Yeah, I also had the last two cards real quick. Vengeful Townsfolk. It's 2 and a white for a 3/3. Whenever one or more other creatures you control die, put a +1/+1 counter on Vengeful Townsfolk. We've had, like, Unruly Mob is, like, 1 and a white for a 1/1 that gets counters when things die. And this is just starts out as a much better creature on rate and then grows. If you wanted to build, like, a sacrifice deck with, like, I don't know, like, Nested Shamblers and Doom
Cauldron
Travelers
Familiars.
And yeah, Cauldron Familiars, which I know now is a common, and Sacrifice Outlets and things like that. Like, you could get this to be a big boy, but, you know, like we've talked earlier, like just big dumb creatures aren't really super doing it.
3-mana 2/2s isn't where it's at either.
It's a 3-mana 3/3.
It starts
out decent on rate.
There we go.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting. And then the last one, we kind of have a bunch of cards in this vein already. This is Voracious Varmint. It's 1 and a green for a 2/2 with Vigilance. And for 1 mana, you can sacrifice it to destroy target artifact or enchantment. I don't think this takes the spot away from Troublemaker Oof. But if you're a deck where maybe you can recur this, like maybe something like that Unearth Recommission type of plan, and you need to reuse this type of effect. We have this in white already with Cathar Commando, and it's a 3/1 with Flash, which is arguably much better. And so we've seen this effect. It hasn't really shown up too much, but I always like to kind of just like put a little pin in the page whenever I see like these little naturalized effect creatures, because they can come up every once in a while.
Very similar to the Canker Bloom from
Phyrexian All Will Be War.
Yeah, but I wanted to say War of Spark. Yeah, but the other big multiverse ending plot.
Alrighty,
does that conclude it for Outlaws of Thunder Junction cowboy set?
I think so, partner.
Oh, yeah, we all have cowboy hats on, too.
Oh, if we do.
Only you can see it.
Mine's like 10,000 gallons.
Yeah, but like, it's an uninhabited plane. Why did we bring the cowboy hats?
I don't know. It's just a, you know, cowboys. But it's not an uninhabited plane. We don't need to get into it.
Yeehaw, partner. Let's move on to our challenges over the weekend, shall we? Cameron, I did screw up. The card that you were referring to earlier is not Fairy Duelist. Fairy Duelist does do that same thing, I believe. The card is not Fairy Duelist, though. It is Brian Borrow Intruder.
Oh,
that's the card.
And it's a rogue or whatever.
Yes, I didn't think it was a
fairy. I only say that because I was looking at the challenges and that card. is the card popped up in one of these deck lists.
Well, I forgive you, Hippo. No worries.
A late format.
Oh, I would also rather not get flamed later. Like, you gave the wrong card.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know.
But would you all like to move it to the challenges?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Fun and exciting news for Popper fans. This past week, Daybreak unleashed a flurry of new challenges throughout various weekdays for Magic Online, as well as like a bunch of other prelims and stuff like that. So there are a bunch of extra tournaments to play on Magic Online now, which is sweet. Which means we now have a Friday Popper challenge to talk about as well. We are going to kind of blast through these now that there are four of them. But if anything stands out to you boys, let's talk about it. Our Friday challenge on April 5th, we have 64 players. In 8th place, the Master Mogged on Dimir Terror. In 7th place, Paulo Cabral BR on Blue White Glitter's Affinity. In 6th place, Baiko De Gea on Blue Black Fairies. In 5th place, Jose Guillermo on Boros Synthesizer. In 4th place, Handsome PPZ on Blue Black Fairies. In 3rd place, Zamu on Blue Black Fairies. In 2nd place, Totem Silence on Boros Synthesizer. And in 1st place, Lucas Giggs on Mono Red Kuldatha. That's a star-studded top 8. These are some heaters.
Yeah, it is. I thought it was interesting. We're starting to see almost, like, we saw Jeskai glitters being like the de facto glitters deck. Then it was blue white, and now it's like the Boros Synthesizer hybrid version is starting to cement itself as like the version to play. This second place list is playing 3 Seeker of the Ways, so I'm a fan of that.
Just about to say that.
6 Thrabe Inspectors, 3 Seeker of the Ways, so that's really cool. I'm a fan of that.
And the 2 Ginger Brutes, they're squeezing them all in here.
You know, I don't know what they're cutting, but we got room.
I kind of like it.
I do too. I like it's a good backup plan if people are, you know, prepared for your all that glitters. Like,
oh, they're not playing the Batter Fists, which I think is fine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I agree. That's, like, not always right. The best thing to be
like,
doing.
It's really good with Skyfisher and Glinhawk, but yeah, besides that, excuse me, besides that, cool.
I'll consider it.
Our first place mono red list, still following the latest trends of, like, trimming a couple Blast Runners and playing some main deck and the festivities, like, Reckless Impulse effects. They're also on 2 Seal of Fires and on 17 lands.
Man, the blue-black deck's killing it, this challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Three copies of fairies is crazy.
Three copies of fairies.
No, do we got to ban blue-black decks next?
Yeah, no, we should just ban a card from every deck, and then everyone can stop complaining.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone would stop complaining.
Shall we move on to Saturday?
Let's move it to Saturday.
Saturday. April 6th, Popper Challenge, 68 players. We got some good attendance here.
Yeah, we do.
In 8th place, Luffy du Chapeau de Paula on Grixis Affinity. In 7th place, __against__ on Mono Red Kuldatha. In 6th place, O Danielakos on Dimir Terror. In 5th place, Denisevich Alexi on Jeskai Ephemerate. In 4th place, Liv BR on Golgari Control, which I believe should be Gardens. In 3rd place, RGR, I'm just going to read out the letters, RGRZYWOCZ, it's probably Roger Swaski, something, I don't know, Boros Synthesizer. In 2nd place, Alienware, also on Boros Synthesizer. And in 1st place, Hamuda, back on top with Goblin Combo, aka Mogwarts.
So that, the one that you had pronounced, that RGRZ, mm-hmm, Boros Synthesizer list.
In 3rd place, yep.
They have a card in their sideboard. They can't cast it. They're just trolling, I think. It's the Lady of the Mountain.
I saw this on Twitter.
It's 6 mana 5/5 from Legends.
So Spencer sent this in our Discord, actually. He's like, does anyone know what Lady of the Mountain does? And I was just like, yeah, it's a 6 mana 5/5 generic. Doesn't do anything.
No text.
But
it is such a troll if I've ever seen
that
one.
That is pretty funny. It dodges cast down, but they can't cast it. But anyway. They do and have.
They cast it? No, they don't have any green sources.
They have no way to make a treasure. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. No filters. Nothing. There's zero ways to put the cast this card. They just played it because they wanted to.
There are two
14 cards. Don't need a 15th sideboard card. Amazing.
There are two Gorilla Shamans in the main board. That's probably just, you know, gearing up for other Glitters decks, other artifact decks and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So that's, I like it. It's aggressive.
Aggressive decision.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, nice. It served them well. Third place. Doesn't look like anything too out of the ordinary in the Goblins deck here.
Nice to see Grixis Affinity make an appearance.
Yeah.
Still love that deck. No Frogmites. We got the four Mirror Enforcers and two Gear Seeker Serpents as your big fatties. You can get back with the Blood Fountains. Like, playing against the deck, the Blood Fountain's so annoying.
Blood Fountain's really, really strong in this deck.
And it's just, like, a weird deck because it's like, man, do I bring in my relics against them, because it's like they're not really doing anything quite else with their graveyard besides that. So like relic could either be really good or really bad against them, just depending on the hand they draw, you know. So interesting there, like seeing that. Anything else in this challenge y'all are
Carrot Eater is top 16 with Cogates.
Mm-hmm.
We got Kerblinski top 16 with Turbo Fog. Yeah, 5-2s all the way down into top 16, so a solid event.
In this Gardens list, a sideboard card called Crypt Incursion. It's 2 and a black, instant. Exile all creature cards from target player's graveyard. You gain 3 life for each card exiled this way.
This card is awesome.
That card is, what, Psycho Storm, or?
it maybe it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, do you bring it in just, like, against an aggro deck, though? Like, Probably not.
Probably bring it in just against a bunch of stuff. You're just like killing all their stuff, and then eventually you just like exile.
I'll gain 27.
Yeah, that's 9 creatures in their graveyard. Like, that's not too. That's not too unbelievable.
It's
I
good
think.
Against the Dredge decks and the Mogwort decks. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. So that's cool. That's cute. I like it.
That was like a really good sideboard card back in its standard.
It's true.
It would come up every once in a while
from Dragon's Maze.
Yep.
Famously known powerful set.
Yeah.
The card Voice of Resurgence was in that set, sir.
And no other contenders. Well, Hidden Strings, I guess, has quite a pedigree now.
All right. Moving
Maze's
on.
End.
Technically.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's about all I got. All right, moving on to
our first of our two Sunday challenges. We're cruising right along here. 64 players for the 64 challenge.
I'm cruising. I was driving.
We're cruising, just exiling all these cards out of our graveyard. Just kidding. That card's banned. In eighth place, J-Waves with White Weenie. This is the White
Weenie
deck.
Yeah, it's just the deck that they...
The Battle Screech Guardian's Pledge deck.
They are the de facto White Weenie player.
Hell yeah.
A fopper.
Seventh place, Luffy Do Chapeau de Pala on Golgari Control. Switching it up a little bit. In sixth place, First Shot on Goblin Combo, a.k.a. Mogwarts. In fifth place, Hockey Bro 26, Gruul Panza, baby! We did it! We broke into top 8!
Yeah,
hasn't
changed since Lord of the Rings.
Hasn't changed.
Still the same old
still
deck we
busted.
Love. Yeah, busted.
In fourth place, Misplaced Ginger on Blue Black Fairies. In third place, Angus 91 on Grixis Affinity. In second place, I Am MVP on Jeskai Ephemerate. And in first place, he's back on top, Mogged with Grixis Affinity.
The return of Grixis Affinity.
The return of the king.
The return of the king. And Mog is notably playing Frogmites. And
Ooh. The
third place and the last challenge
yep,
that
yep.
Grixis deck was not on Frogmites. So Mog's okay. on the Frogmites and the Mirror Enforcer. So that's cool. No big other fatty. So like no Gurmog Angler, no Serpent. Gear Serpent Seeker guy.
Gear Seeker Serpent.
Sure.
None of the hover guard, the somber
that,
hover guard.
That one hasn't been around for a minute, I don't think.
Yeah. It'll pop up.
It was
every
popping
now and
up
then,
for
yeah.
a little bit a few weeks
it
ago.
It was, yeah.
So this is like what Affinity looked like when I like played it for a year ago, you know? Like it just had all.
It has been a while since you played Affinity.
I know. Time is disgusting, but let's not talk about it.
Do you think the Grixis Affinity deck has a good matchup into these glitter stacks, like specifically the newer Boros ones instead of the blue-white ones?
No.
No, not those. I don't think so, no.
I think they just grind just as much as you at the synthesizers, you know?
Okay. Yeah, like, also, like, at that point, they have, what, one flyer access to one flyer in their deck? Like, also, they're playing, so, like, Krakenhand Shaman doesn't kill their Glenhawks and Korskai Fishers, and you just get to fly there over them with your two power flyers. They just kind of die. And then you just, like, Bolt and Galvanic Blossom to death.
And I guess, like, you don't have the Journey to Nowheres to get rid of the Kinko Artifact token, which is a little annoying.
I know some of the... specifically, so I actually have this literally in my hand right now, the Borosynth. There is one Journey to Nowhere in the board.
Oh, okay, there you go. Nice. Bring it in. Your one copy for their one copy.
That's right.
It's only fair.
That's right. All right. The last one.
The last one. No, anything else you guys want to talk about?
Turbo in.
Yeah, hold on. I want to take a quick look at the Gruul Ponza list. You said there was nothing new.
Nothing interesting.
No.
No, it's the same thing since Scrubs Lord of the Rings.
And Thermocar. All right, cool. Good job, Ponza players. We love you.
Making locals mad.
Making locals mad.
Good.
Forever. Take a quick look at Derek's Fairies list. One copy of Behold the Multiverse in the main, which is kind of interesting. Also playing the Extracted Confession. Behold the Multiverse is 3 and a blue for an instant. It's from Kaldheim. Scry 2, draw 2, and has foretell for 1 and a blue. So you can pay the 1 and a blue, or pay 2 mana, exile it face down, and then later on a later turn you can cast it for its foretell cost.
We'll see that pop up as a 1 of in Terror and Fairies every now and then. Yep. That's just their preferred 4 mana instant draw 2.
Yeah.
Imagine if you could draw 2 mana, or for 2 mana you could draw 2 cards. Some people are just doing it for 4 mana, Thomas.
At sorcery speed, though?
Yeah. That's insane. Snuff out something in your turn and draw 2 cards? Oh.
God, card's insane. That's kind of sick.
Yeah.
Snuff out plus...
It just takes to the end of the episode for us to get him on board with this card.
See, yeah, you have to pair it with a free spell, and then I'm interested.
Snuff out, no good card.
Do you have to pair Brainstorm with other cards for them to be good, right?
Squadron Hawk?
Yeah.
So it just takes a little work for cards to be good.
Yeah.
All right.
Another Cycling Storm top 16 from Tyrube. Moving on to the last challenge. The last Sunday challenge on April 7th, 55 players in this 32 challenge.
That's a stacked weekend.
Stacked weekend. A lot of people playing Pauper. Love to see it. Quick shout out to Pathias84 with a Poison Storm top 16.
I'll give them my shout out. No. I'll shout boo at them.
In 10th place.
Boo.
No.
In 8th place.
They did a good job.
In 8th place, Mojo on Walls Combo. In 7th place, Fair MTG on Rakdos Madness. In 6th place, Elk Vinci on Boros Synthesizer. In 5th place, Podovisk, also on Boros Synthesizer. In 4th place, Ixidor 29 on Mono Blue Fairies. In third place, Totem Silence on Orzhov Blade. This one is not Pestilence. This is actually Orzhov Blade. We'll get back to it.
Yeah.
And then in second place, Purgatory 01 on Blue Black Fairies. And in first place, Baiko de Gea on Blue Black Fairies. I don't know if there's anything interesting going on.
Yeah, that sixth way stack, that synthesizer, is actual synthesizer. No funny business. Just you got two Guardian the Guild packs to get in there, I guess, too, and just classic synthesizer. We're used to seeing. We got the main deck relics, two Guardians, some Dawnbringer clerics. So just kind of ditching that packness.
Ditching the packness.
And
down with the packness.
Going for the grindiest.
The Orzhov Blade deck in third place. They are playing all 16 white creatures.
The package.
They're also playing another cool card in that deck.
I know. I saw.
Tell us about it.
So, the card in question is a card called Scroll Shift.
Hell yeah!
It's from what is that card? March of the Machines. Yeah, March of the Machines. So, Scroll Shift.
Not plural.
March of the Machine.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cameron.
You're welcome.
Two and a white, Scroll Shift, instant. It says exile up to one target artifact, creature, or target artifact, comma creature, comma or enchantment you control, then return it to the battlefield owner's control. Draw card.
It's a 3-mana flicker something draw card.
So the coolest part about this one is that it flickers an enchantment. That's the biggest one. Because that means it flickers your Omen of the Dead.
Your one Omen of the Dead.
Oh, that's sick.
That's kind of cool.
You can also flicker
your Limbus or something.
You can also... Tithing Blade. Oh, no. Never mind. Sorry. It says you control. My bad.
So,
that'd be nuts if you could flicker
that. That's the one card, the one cool card there.
I saw the Goliath Paladin, and I skimmed through. I'm like, man, that's kind of weird. They're playing Goliath Paladin with no Ephemerates, but that makes sense. 3-mana is a little steep for this effect. Yeah, it's very flexible.
That's the key.
Mm-hmm. But
and you get to draw a card.
So does Ephemerate.
Ephemerate does not draw a card.
It draws itself. It rebounds. It's like drawing a card. Yeah. It draws another Ephemerate.
Meh.
It draws another Ephemerate, but anyway.
They're not playing Ephemerate in this deck,
are they? No, I agree. I don't think this deck wants Ephemerate very much, because like the best Ephemerate target is Goliath Paladin, and after that, it's honestly Core Skyfisher picking up a Tithing Blade.
I would agree.
You know, then... So this lets you hit, like you said, Valimbus or the Omen of the Dead.
They're also playing 4 copies of Navigator's Compass in their sideboard, which is a 1-mana artifact from Dominaria. That when it enters the battlefield, you gain 3 life. And then it has some text where you tap it until end of turn. Target land you control becomes the basic land type of your choice in addition to its other types. I don't think that's why we're playing it. It's 1-mana artifact where you can gain 3 life. So you can pick this up with your Glinthawks and your Core Skyfishers. You can flicker it with Scroll Shift. Pretty sick.
I played that in that, like the Boros Gates deck that I used to play with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I remember
that was your... Yeah, you built it literally... 5 minutes before the tournament started.
Yeah.
And you beat me, that's for sure.
And you won?
I don't know.
I think you won. I don't remember.
A top 8 for sure. I wouldn't go as far as winning. But I think
you might have won.
All right, fine. We'll go with I won, if you insist.
Or no.
I thought
you lost. You lost to Mono Red, I think, didn't you?
Really?
Did you lose to Mono Red?
Dude, I don't remember.
Because I think that was the day I think I played Borosynth, I think.
I thought you played, you and Drew were playing with stupid Gates deck, and we drew in top 4 or top 8.
Oh, yeah.
But okay. This is like locals two years ago.
This was like forever ago. Anyways.
This is like ancient.
I would like to talk about the mono blue deck, actually. There are a bunch of cool card choices amongst their 75.
I just had it pulled up, and it's so funny that you talked about this.
No.
Oh, I think it meant the cube draft.
No.
Oh.
This is the mono blue deck in this top 8 of this challenge that we're referring to.
I'm being a dork.
All right. The first card, it's in the main. It's the only cool card, like interesting card in the main. We have Mantle of Tides for a single blue for an artifact equipment. A equipped creature gets +1/+2 and has an equip cost of 3. But it also has the addition of whenever you draw your second card each turn, attach it to target creature you control. And it does say each turn. It does not say your turn. It says each turn. So if you were to like brainstorm, you can move this around. Things of that nature. This deck's not brainstorming, but that is a thing you can do.
That's pretty cool. Pretty nifty.
It's playing another copy of that in the board as well. But another card in the, card in the sideboard is 3 Curse of Chains.
Whoa.
What does that do?
So, for one and hybrid white-blue, it is an aura that says enchant target creature, and it says at the beginning of each upkeep, tap enchanted creature.
Art's super cool. So it just there's taps creature.
There's other cards that do this effect. This is just a cool one. It's just... Yeah.
You'll see in sideboards a familiar sometimes because it... Because
it gains life off of your...
And it costs one less.
Yeah, costs one less, and it gains life off your...
Thanks.
Also multicolored, so you can tap down
Guardian of the Guild Pact.
Ooh,
that's a nice little one. I feel like this deck would probably struggle against Cogates just a little bit.
Yeah.
And then one more card in their sideboard, Viridian Longbow.
A classic.
It's a classic popper card. For those who are not familiar, this is an old elves card. So a single colorless mana, you have an equipment, and it says equip creature has tap. This creature deals 1 damage to target creature or player, and it is equip cost of 3.
What is that coming against? It seems expensive.
It's a mirror.
Equip.
Fairy's
very
mirror.
Good against other flyers. It just It's just a grindy card. It's
Kadolfa. You can block and tap, kill something.
You can also just start pinging your opponent down.
Yeah, yeah, that was the old elves plan. Mm-hmm. You just eventually, like, the board might get clogged up or something. And you're like, oh, I'm just going to start. I have so much mana that I'm just going to move this around to all my creatures.
Yeah, I think elves does it a lot better than this 18 land deck. But I get it, like, blocking a 1/1 from Kadolfa, then pinging another 1/1 before damage is cute. Yep. It's a cute card.
Yep. Sweet little card.
Yeah.
Yep. Those are the cool cards that I saw.
Sweet.
Hippo's Cool Caller Cards of the Week. It's a new segment.
Congratulations to everyone playing so much Popper. So we got a ton of Popper to play online now. We got to get into these challenges, fam.
Yeah.
A Friday challenge is much more reasonable for me to have a chance at getting into.
It depends on what time of the day they are, but yeah.
I don't want to re-download Moto again. It was so miserable trying to play it.
Oh.
I can teach you.
I think we can get you there.
It was like watching paint dry. It took away the magic for me.
I think it's way more relatable to the real game of Magic than Arena is.
Yeah, no, I don't play Arena as though it's Magic. Arena is a toilet game.
I definitely see you playing Arena just randomly too.
Yeah, I know. Just if I just need to,
I keep wish my TikTok that I could play occupied. Magic online just randomly. Like
you do,
just,
you do a lot.
No, I'm talking about, like, on my phone. Which, like, just, like, having, like, access to Magic Online on my phone would be a delight.
Technology doesn't exist. But, overall, I think these challenges were pretty interesting. I think the big takeaways are these blue-black decks are really good, and Boros Synthesizer Glitters is...
I guess the
flavor of the week.
De facto all the glitters
the
for
flavor
now.
Of the week.
Yeah, it is the flavor of the week, basically.
The flavor of 2 weeks, maybe.
I think it is one is better in the mirror by a lot.
Which one's
that? In like the glitter's mirror. Like
which one do you think is better?
Oh, Boros. The Boros Synthesizer deck's way better in the mirror. Having lightning bolts and galvanic blasts for your opponent's creatures that they want to put glitters on is insane.
And
they don't have a way to stop yours.
Yeah.
That you do have a way to stop theirs.
Yeah.
Outside of like Metallic Rebukes, if they run them. But even then,
that's
not everyone's.
I was like, that's like three, maybe four cards.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'd rather have the lightning bolts and galvanic blasts, and my deck draws more cards. The Boros Synth deck draws way more cards.
Hell yeah!
Over the course of the game,
best card in the format,
Synthesizer.
Oh yeah,
clearly.
I think we have agreed that. Yeah.
Alrighty, shall we sign off?
Let's do it.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you made it this far, y'all rock. Like we said at the beginning, we're doing a mailbag episode next week. So if you got any questions, DM us on Twitter, add us on Twitter, or send them to commongroundmtgpod@gmail.com. That'll be in the description. As always, we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you so much for making this possible. Bye.
Leave a review, leave comments, share with your friends, tell your people.
Yeah.
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 We appreciate y'all.
Your local Popper community.
Yeah.
Share it with them.
Thank you everyone for joining us this week.
Have a good week, everyone. Happy eclipse to those that celebrated.
Bye!
GG's.
Goodbye for a second time.
Did you stop recording? Ha! I got the last laugh. Ha! Ha! Ha!